A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right,
yeah! On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. David Locke's going to join us coming up here in just a moment. Oh, I'm gonna read you a tweet that's gonna make you lose your mind here in a second.
Oh no!
No, I'll wait till after David's done. Oh my gosh, I'm upset. I'm irate.
Oh boy. In regards to what?
Just the world we're living in right now. All right, let's get to it. Here's David Locke right here on The Zone.
It's time to get the inside scoop on the Utah Jazz.
From the play-by-play voice of the Jazz, David Locke.
Sweet revenge!
Presented by Murdoch Auto Group.
Ow!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Coming to you live from a van down by the Powder, it's David Locke joining us for his weekly conversation. Hi, David.
Hey, David.
I might have to get that as my license plate holder, a t-shirt, a hat. That might need to be my new life slogan. That's awesome.
You like that?
A van down by the Powder. It was good today. I apologize. I'm driving down Little Cottonwood Canyon right now, and I hope that we don't lose signal. I had planned to be out of Little Cottonwood Canyon, but I was skiing. I had a great time. It was super nice with Steve Nyman, who is a multi three-time Olympian, a lot better skier than me, and when he got on top of the cliff that he was then going to be able to go over, I wasn't. So I had to hike back out, and that took me an extra 15 minutes or so that I wasn't planning on today. So,
and with the Powder,
I apologize that I'm a tiny bit behind.
That probably wasn't an easy thing to do either.
Oh, it's fine. Yeah, it was not great, but it was fine. We had a great day. He took me up. It was a super day. It was awesome. I'm not complaining at all. It was super nice and to ski with me because he had to wait. I don't know if you know this, but a three-time Olympic downhill skier actually has to wait for me at the bottom for a long time.
How is the snow up there, David?
Yeah. Today was great. It's super. It's the absolute summer on or winter on crack of snow. Like it's so great.
You're going to be skiing through the 4th of July, possibly.
Yeah, no, we certainly are. Like, you know, my knee really hurts a lot. I got something wrong. So the old phrase is you never check until April, but I'm not checking until May this year. Maybe June. Maybe July.
Never check it till April.
All right. So, David, I just want you to, okay, you go on a rant for me. The time is yours. I'm just going to say, David, address everybody who watches that game last night and watches the game against Boston, and they're happy, but they're a little sick to their stomach because they see those lottery balls just going like out, you know, just out into the nether, don't even exist anymore. How do you address the confusion the Jazz fans feel right now?
Oh, I actually am not going to go on any type of rant on this at all. I mean, I think there was a moment in time where I kind of looked at the standings like, oh, well, if we lose 23 of our next 27, it'll be brutal. We'll end up with a 5th-6. It's probably worth it. Like, but that's just not how the season has gone. And I'm not sure I'm not sure that Lowry Marketing comes out of that with the greatest taste in his mouth. I'm not sure Walker Kessler and Ochai Agbaji come out of that with the greatest taste in their mouth if you go do that. So, I think you're seeing What I'm just super impressed by is the Jazz are what I think would be problematic is if you were going to win games in lieu of development, okay? Then that would be problematic. Then if you're a Jazz fan, I'd be like, okay, wait, what are we doing? Like, Coach Ayabaji needs to play. Like, Walker Kessler needs to play. Like, these guys, Lowry Markkanen needs to learn how to be a number one option. Like, but we're not. We're actually running plays for Lowry at times that we haven't run all year long because they're the next step in his development. I thought there were three plays in maybe the Miami loss where I think earlier this year Will Hardy calls a different play, but they have things they're trying to work on with Lowry Markkanen. And so they put him in a less advantageous position for his skill set right now so that he could try to figure out how to make that part of his skill set for the future. Like, Ochai Agbaji's hitting all these threes off the move. Like, that's development. That's him trying to learn. Walker Kessler's guarding Markelle Fultz one night playing the bottom of a zone. That's development. And so while these guys are all developing, they're still winning and playing hard. I get it because, yeah, it does make sense. I mean, you go back and look at the history of NBA drafts. Picking fifth is better than picking 12th, and picking third is better than picking fifth. There's just no question. And so I 100% get it, but they're doing this all while I actually think they're playing to develop more than they are to play to win right now, and then they're winning in the process. It's kind of amazing.
So, David, last night as you're slipping the headset on and you're getting ready to call this game against Sacramento, and you got Clarkson, Sexton, and Lowry Markkanen announced as out, and you're going through the starting lineup of Simone Fontecchio, Talen Horton-Tucker, Ochai Agbaji, Walker Kessler, Kelly Linick.
And can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Are you asking me if I had a full page of notes on Memphis, Denver, Clippers, and all the Western Conference teams to discuss in the third and fourth quarters where Sacramento stacked up? Yeah,
that's exactly what I'm asking you, actually.
Yeah, I would never do something like that. Yeah, I did.
because I had to imagine this is a Sacramento team that's really pushing. They want to stay away from Golden State. You know, they're trying to get the best matchup they can, and they're just a half game away from Memphis. They're pushing. And they want this game, and it's a nice roster that they got on the court. I just was wondering what your thought process was with that starting five.
I have an entire Sacramento Kings prep. First time since 2000 that I never used. First, you know, I think I mentioned first time since 2006 that winning season had when their last playoff one win was. I had the starting lineups and the rosters set for those teams. I'm not lying. I did blow up prep. Like, Lowry Markkanen, no Jordan Clarkson, no Colin Sexton. Like, our leading scorer coming into the game is Kelly Linick with 12 points a game. Like, I did blow up prep against the number one offense in the NBA. Am I lying?
Well, it was amazing. And then to watch the finishing lineup with Simone Fontecchio, Chris Dunn out on the court in replacement of Talen Horton, Ochai, Walker, and Kelly, you know, the finishing five that they had, Chris Dunn knocking down shots.
Three rookies. A former top five pick, but who was cast off.
Yeah.
And Kelly Olynyk, right? Like, yeah, I mean, it's like.
And the game was on the line. Yeah. Sacramento tightened it up after the 42-19 start that the Jazz put on them. It was on the line.
This is where we have to give Wilson credit. I mean, that play out of the timeout where they lift everyone and Ochai face slashes, catches, and hits the banker. It's a really good play call. Like, that's kind of been our signature with Lowry all year, that call. But, like, that's Will Hardy putting somebody in a position to have success and make a play. And then the play in which Kelly Olynyk hits the three with a slight on the broadcast, I said it's the play they worked on in shoot-around. I watched it last night. I still think it's the play they worked on shoot-around. They just started it in different positions. So it's at least the action. Ochai runs off of Chris Dunn, brings his defender with him. Walker's at the elbow, and as Walker rolls, the corner guy has to kind of come in to deal with Walker's role and leaves Kelly Olynyk wide open. I mean, they literally walked through that multiple times in shoot-around yesterday. It was out of a little bit of a different set, but the same concept is there. And then Chris Dunn gets a zip code three, where he's the only one in the zip code. That's partially because Chris Dunn shot 28% from, or maybe lower in his career from three. And Sacramento had the scouting report and left him there, but he makes it. So, you know, it's a combination of guys making plays and being really well prepared.
I'm still in that zip code call, by the way, next year. I like that one. That was a good one.
You like that one?
Yeah.
I haven't used that in a while. I brought a bunch of stuff out last. I like went deep in the archives of rock calls last night.
You keep track. Do you keep track of stuff?
Rock. No, I purposely have no signature call. Like that's always been like that was a very conscious. I have a theory. I have a belief on those. We can talk about it off the air.
Yeah.
Hey, David, how much can we take away from Udoka Azubuike's 18 minutes last night? Perfect from the field, 8 rebounds and 13 points. How much can you? Can anybody take away from what he did in his minutes?
I mean, there have been times this year where he looked like he had not the faintest idea what to do on the floor. So if you're going to take something away from that, then don't you have to take something away from last night and give him credit for the work he's put in to be able to do that? I think the answer is yes. So am I having seen, I'm not going to forget every performance I've ever seen because he had a really, really good night last night. But that's an encouraging moment. That, I mean, he's a minimum big next year, so it's not, if the Jazz want him back, I don't think it's going to be hard to get him back. Remember, we didn't pick up his options, so you have to sign him, but I think he's a minimum big. So, I mean, that, there were some, yeah, I think it's encouraging. I'm not sure I'm making long-term decisions on it, but let's give him the credit because there were a lot of times this year where it's been a real struggle, and so he's, for him to stay engaged and have a good game's outstanding. You know, I always want to see things happen in a multitude of games against a multitude of opponents before I start to make observations. Like, so Ochai hitting threes on the move now against, in multiple games. Like, okay, like that's really interesting. Like, Ochai had a drive about five. Let's see, I was talking to Evan Brads about this in our I keep getting our titles wrong of our coaches, but I believe he's our director of player development. We were talking about this, so we were in Miami. So somewhere on that road trip, Ochai went into the basket with a wiggle. Like everything he'd done up to that point was straight line. Well, he showed a wiggle again last night on a drive that he drew the foul. It's like, oh, wait, I've now seen this twice against different opponents. Like then that's really... Like that's a really important one on Ochai to keep an eye on. Like he's driving the basket, showing a little bit of wiggle. That changed the youth from Royce O'Neal to being Norm Powell. That's a big difference.
So the legend came on with us yesterday, Ron Boone, and
he did.
Yeah, it was great. It's always nice when he graces us with his presence. We feel a little cooler.
How did that happen? I thought he had your number blocked.
Not Lloyd's apparently. So that worked out all right.
Ron still is like, it comes up all the time that when I was program director in 1995 and made him do that morning show because I thought he was really, really good and thought he could bring a lot to the table, he's still mad. It still comes up.
He didn't
a little while, by the way.
Didn't want to do mornings, huh? Wow. Yeah.
Didn't want to do talk radio. Wasn't mornings.
It was just talk radio, period.
It was any day that ended in Y.
Well, those are high quality golfing hours too in the morning. You're keeping him off the course.
He was not pleased with me then. I'll never forget, brought him to the office. Here's why. I think you're really good. I don't think anyone's tapped into you. I want to. I think you have great stories to tell. I think you have great insight. I'll tell them what I want him. Great.
Well, the reason I bring up Booner is because he talks about, and he told us a great story of like, hey, look, you get to the arena early enough and you see three dudes working out with Walker Kessler and just trying to beat the ever-loving you-know-what out of him before every game. And his ability to grow and develop because of that, he credits a lot of the work that's being done with a lot of that training staff. Just from game one to game 71, how much is the physicality increased from Walker Kessler and what he's been able to do out on the court?
So Ron and I do a show called On the Floor. We used to do an hour before the game, and this year we were informed that you can't do it an hour before the game. And I wasn't so pleased about that, but it happens. So we now do it because we couldn't figure out what other window we had. We now do it like 2 hours and 15 minutes before the game, which I don't know if you know this, but it hurts the audience numbers a little bit. So we now at 4:45 or 5 o'clock go live on Instagram. And what we've ended up getting every night, little did we know that we were on Goldmine, is Ochai Agbaji and Walker Kessler's work with our coaches. Every night on the floor on my Instagram account, that's what we watch. And, you know, honestly, when the year started, I was like, well, it's a lot more fun. We have Steph Curry here. I'm like, well, you know, Kevin Durant. But, okay. But it has been fascinating to watch these guys literally work on these things and then have them implement them into their games as the season goes on, and to watch these workouts. And they've evolved. They were one-on-ones and things like that and beat the crap out of Walker. Now they're actually like this four-on-four game that has a few coaches, Talen Horton-Tucker, Walker, Ochai Agbaji, Damian Jones is in it, Dope is in it. Like, these are like, they literally are playing a four-on-four game off half court out of a specific set, and how you're supposed to rotate and what your reads are and how you're supposed to deal with it. Like, it's really incredible player development to watch every night. So I'm with Ron 100%. They do play a game where literally they throw it to Walker in the middle of the paint and everyone beats the living crap out of him and he has to finish. And it's literally what's happened to him to win two games this year.
Yeah, it's showing. It was impressive against Boston in particular.
I actually will tell you the most encouraging one is I met his dad. Dad's pretty thick, like shoulder width. Like, if you met his dad was a beanpole, you'd be like, oh, that's kind of a bummer, right?
Yeah.
But, like, he's a big guy. And, like, his brother's a big guy. So, like, Walker's just a baby who hasn't put on all the weight yet. He's going to be – I don't know that he'll ever be as big. But I'd be super curious to go look at a 20-year-old Jonas Valanciunas.
Huh. Interesting.
That's big.
I think this is my comp for Walker, but a better defensive player. Jonas is not great in the pick and roll, backpedaling and moving. Donovan embarrassed him in a playoff series. Particularly, I actually think he's a pretty good comp to where Walker could go offensively.
I hesitate to ask this question, David, but I'm going to ask it. Do you think you're going to be calling a play-in game this season?
Hope so. It'd be so great. Though the abrupt end might be a little harsh. I might have to counsel Scotty about that.
What?
It's not too soon?
Yeah.
It's not fun.
Oh, no.
It's not fun.
No, it is too soon. David, it was a really bad return for a guy. It was not good.
I almost called you.
You know what's funny?
I almost care enough that I thought about calling you. I got to be honest. We're gonna just share here.
I guess the thought was there.
Like, I stared at my phone to, like, text you a message, like, hope you still have enjoyed March Madness and take it all in. Dude, I actually just came up with nothing to say. I knew that, like, no, he didn't enjoy March Madness. He thought they could go to the Sweet 16. And he went to go win two games and go to the Sweet 16 and have that experience. And he left on Thursday early.
You know what's interesting about this, too? And I was telling Hans about this, that when your team makes it to the NCAA tournament and they bring a charter, I mean, it is first class all the way. NCAA, for all of its weirdness and how they screw things up, man, they treat teams in the NCAA tournament like gold. Like, you've got a beautiful hotel, you've got your own charter flight, all paid for, they roll out the red carpet. But as soon as that horn sounds and you lose, get the bleep out. Like, that game was over at like 1:30, they had us on a plane coming home at like 4:30. And it was like, get out, you're done, you're nothing. And it's like, you're going a million miles an hour, and then all of a sudden, it's like somebody pulls up the emergency brake, and it's just done. And yeah, it's not great, it's not fun. Kids deserve a little bit better.
So you're not hanging out getting to watch the next game?
No. They escort you to a bus. They get you on the bus. They take you right to a hotel so you can pack up your crap. And then they take you right to the airport and you're out. You're done.
And that is a quiet plane flight.
Yeah. Well, not as quiet as I would have liked. That's an inside joke.
Some family. Oh. Family. time.
But no, it was it's an abrupt end for sure. And if you're in the play-in tournament, yeah, you'll probably get a good little taste of that. No, you know, but that's all right.
I mean, the fun one on the play-in tournament would be if you're 9-10, you play the first one. You're 9, you get to play at home, right? Yeah. So, the fun one for us, we play the Lakers the last game of the season on the road. We might on Sunday be going to LA on having played Saturday, so Saturday day game, I think, and then we're playing Fly that afternoon. Like, I think we might be going to LA, like, with bags packed for question mark.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you might be in a 10th seed, all right, pack your bags for two cities. They don't know what they are, because with the way it is, we'll have no idea. Mm-hmm. And, oh, by the way, then we're going to Denver after that when we win those two games, so pack for all that. And it's like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
David, there are some reports out that Clarkson and Markkanen were participating in practice today. Is there a chance we see pretty much a full roster outside of Sexton against the Trailblazers tomorrow night?
You know, I don't really know. Jordan's injuries, like, I know that there was some stuff written that like, was all part of the tank, which I guess we probably should get over at some point. But, like, Jordan's injury is real. Like, it's on his hand. It's trying to catch the ball. I think it's on his shooting hand. So I have not, was not at practice. I don't have access to watch that and or comment on it. So I don't know, but I will just say Jordan's injury is real. Lowry has just played a lot. Like, it's got a 7-foot body. It's just played a lot. And I think if you watch him walk back to the huddles right now, you can see that he's worn out. So I just don't know, but I also wouldn't be surprised if, you know, like, lower back soreness doesn't actually just disappear in a day. So it might have dissipated, but it also might come back. Like, I just wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him. You know, a Lowry miss here or there. I think Lowry's next game might be his career high games in his career.
Wow, that's impressive.
And I think he's surpassed his most minutes this season. And they've been really hard minutes, right? And,
oh yeah.
You know, it is harder on a 7-footer than it is on a 6'5" guy. As much as Lowry's body looks completely perfectly proportioned at all times and seems to make total sense. That is still true, that it's, it is harder for a 7-footer to run around the court than it is for a 6'5".
Markkanen had 68 games his rookie year. Right now he's at 63.
And he's not, so 63 is his career high other than his rookie year, right?
Other than his rookie year, yeah. 61, yeah. 51, 50, 52. In fact, this will be only his third season of 60-plus games.
How is he on minutes played?
He is already 100 minutes past his prior high. He had 2020 his rookie year, then 16, 14, 1300, 1800 last year, and now he's at 2169. So yeah, a lot of minutes out there for sure. All right, David, you still there? Did we lose you?
Oh, my cheek bumped the mute button, which most people wish they could do to me as well.
Well, always a pleasure.
See you, my friend.
Thank you very much. Talk to you later.
See you. Bye.
There he is, David Locke, play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Multiple reports saying Jordan Clarkson and Lowry Markkanen, including our very own Ben Anderson, participated in practice today. So you got to expect them to be available against the Portland Trailblazers. At Vivint Arena coming up tomorrow night, could they put together 3 wins in a row? Probably.
Of course. Heck, just run the table the rest of the way.
Portland's been stinky.
Yeah. Even Damian's thinking about shutting it down.
Portland's on a 6-game losing streak, Scotty.
See, that's a team that's committed. They know what they want, and they're going out there and going and getting it.
They're 2-9 in the last 11. 2-9, and they're coming to a Jazz team that's feeling pretty good about themselves.
Yeah. All right, Hanson Scotty Marks with us from Wasatch Medical. Mark, if there's somebody out there dealing with ED and they want to get it taken care of, here's the thing. There's a lot of options out there that just kind of, you know, treat the symptoms but don't actually treat the problem. And this is a acoustic wave therapy is a way to actually, you know, fix the problem. And it's got an end date in, you know, a matter of weeks.
Absolutely. And let's start with the problem. Guys, ED, the biggest problem with that is a lack of blood flow. That's what most guys are dealing with. And you're absolutely right. Injections, pills, they treat the symptoms. They give a temporary increase in blood flow. But, of course, those options come with timing issues, can come with side effects as well. Acoustic wave therapy at Wasatch Medical Clinic, you don't have to worry about the side effects. There is absolutely no pain. There is no downtime either. Guys, the way this works, we have a small device which is placed on top of the skin, so it's non-invasive. That will deliver gentle pressure waves to the damaged blood vessels below. It helps to repair those blood vessels, opening them up, and now guys have an increase in blood flow where and when they need it the most, and that allows that natural spontaneity to return to the relationship as well.
801-901-8000, and it starts with the phone call. It starts with you wanting to address the issue, and then a free chat and a free ultrasound with a physician.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is very simple, guys. That is the biggest hurdle. Biggest hurdle is, I guarantee, guys, you're hearing this time and time again. There's some guys out there that have taken the step. They've picked up the phone, come into the clinic. Other guys out there just waiting and waiting. But let me tell you, guys, if you wait, ED does not repair itself. It does not get better on its own. So give us a call today at Wasatch Medical Clinic. We will set you up with the exam, the assessment, even that blood flow ultrasound at no cost. In addition to that, you'll receive a gift which can provide rapid results for those intimate moments. You need to call today, guys, though, to take advantage of this offer. Do something about your ED. The number is 801-901-8000, 801-901-8000.
That's 801-901-8000 right here on The Zone.
Wherever you go, The Zone will be right there with you every step of the way. It's the all-new KSL Sports app.
I love it!
Where you can listen to The Zone wherever you may be.
Listen to me, this stuff is available everywhere.
It's your new home for streaming The Zone and getting all the latest news, insight, and analysis of the teams you can't live without. It's the all-new KSL Sports app. Available now wherever you shop for apps.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Let's give away some tickets, shall we? 801-575-ZONE. I read that number right? I can't pull up my email here. Let's see, 801-575-ZONE, and you'll win tickets to see the Jazz take on Joe Ingles and the Bucks coming up Friday night at Vivint Arena. All right, Hands, I'm a little fired up. This is the good. I want to talk about the good being this young man. He is, I've lost his name here, doggone it. His name's Jordan, I forget his last name, but Fairleigh Dickinson. He is the director of media relations for Fairleigh Dickinson. He's a junior at the university, but was arranging all the media appearances and everything that...
It's a pretty big task.
Brett Pine, Doug Hoffman, you know, Jordy up at the U. And this guy's a junior, and he's doing it. And by all accounts, doing a fantastic job. And again, this is a school that doesn't have a huge budget, I'm sure. And I don't know what the situation, if a guy prior to him quit and he's holding down the job on an interim basis, I don't know the situation which allowed him to become the full-time director of media relations for this basketball team. But anyway, by all accounts.
It's a big responsibility.
Big responsibility. Dude knocked it out of the park. And the NCAA yesterday, David Warlock, who runs the NCAA tournament, sent out a tweet and said, hey, this is something we'd like to do for more kids, but for Jordan. We're actually going to hire him on a contractual basis, and we're going to bring him to the Final Four, and he's going to help us with our media relations for the Final Four. So he gets a real big opportunity from that as well.
Very cool.
Very cool. That's good, right? So that's the good today.
Yeah, biggest upset in tournament history. You happen to be in the right spot.
Yes. The bad, well, not the bad. We've got a bad and ugly as well. But a tweet rolling out saying, and I won't even bring up who it is. I retweeted it with my response, but it said, oh, we're having discourse on this finally. This isn't a feel-good story about a smaller program on the big stage. It's glorifying the way students and young professionals are exploited in college athletics, likely because they were too cheap to hire. Okay. All right, Debbie Downer, let's talk a little bit about this, shall we? This is a young man who, this is before Fairleigh Dickinson ever won a game. Let's say they don't even make the NCAA tournament. Obviously, his name's on everybody's mind because of the success that this team had. But let's just say they lost in the quarterfinals of their tournament. He still will have crazy, invaluable connections. He'll have a resume that will far exceed his peers when he graduates in the field of employment that he wants to work in. His experience is incredible. His resume is through the roof. He gets a jump start on life ahead of everybody else that he's going to be competing in the workplace for. Tell me how that's being exploited. Now, look, I don't know if he's getting paid or not. I'm assuming he is. I'm sure. Look, you can't. Everybody thinks that interns aren't getting paid anymore. And actually, no, interns are getting paid. I don't know how much money he's making. But I will say this. If I'm him at that age with that opportunity, exploit away. Exploit me to the T, because I'm getting a head start over everybody else that I'm going to be competing for jobs with when I graduate high school. Can we just calm it down and be happy for a young man who had an opportunity and knocked it out of the park?
It's a weird social media society that likes to knock these things down a bit. It's a really strange group of people that want to attack capitalism and attack the ability to grow and thrive and do it on your own time and your own dime. Some of the most successful people that you and I know started from nothing. One of them ended up running the Miller organization.
Yes.
A guy that was essentially, what was he, interning for Larry Miller?
Yeah. Talking about Steve Starks?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think it was an intern or something.
Yeah. Hey, Lloyd, how much did you get paid for your internship?
Absolutely zero. Some nice, some credit.
But what did you learn during that internship?
I learned how to get a Subway sandwich.
and has that not helped you?
It has. Absolutely.
I never made you go to Subway.
We did Subway.
Was it
there's
Subway?
Nothing wrong with it.
I know there was
a Subway.
I thought it was.
On 4th, right?
I can't remember.
Fourth.
Oh, yeah. It's okay. That Subway.
Hey.
Yeah.
No, I got a ton of experience. I mean, outside of Subway. I was kidding.
Yeah, but
no,
but
a ton of experience.
And connections too. Because when we needed to hire somebody, we're like, "Hey, Lloyd's great."
What's great about the internship program is you're able to see what people are able to do and what they're not able to do. If you're able to do it, guess what?
Yeah.
You got a foot in the door.
It's a great place to start too. A lot of people that start to work into the front offices and administration, they start in these areas. Or that's not even a start in that area. That's an incredible opportunity to get the chance to be that. If you can hold up with the workload and the responsibility it carries, especially when you become the biggest name in NCAA tournament play in the year.
Huge storyline.
For a minute.
Yeah.
But they did notch their name in the history books of the NCAA tournament as the greatest upset, probably greatest upset. I'd say, I know there's two 116s. This is probably the biggest 116, bigger than the Virginia 116.
Yeah.
And you just happened to be working your butt off at that time. Can you imagine getting that call and then saying, hey, how about you come help us with this run on the Final Four? Get some of these documents sent out, get them put together, get some things written up. Kind of oversee a couple things and let's see what you got, kid. That's an amazing opportunity.
Yeah.
And it tends to be the most successful and intelligent individuals that get those opportunities. So it's weird that anybody would try to take a shot at it.
Well, it's just, like, I get it. Is there inequality out there? Sure. Is there opportunities that are given to others that aren't?
Who's fighting for it, though?
But it's just...
Who's fighting? Who's saying, I'll take it. I don't want anything. Give me the shot. And then there's others that are like, how dare you say you won't take anything? It's like, well, that's what I got to do.
Yes.
It's a competitive field. I've got to do this.
In a way, you're tearing down the kid for being willing to do this as a junior in college, saying, no, I'll do it. And they're like, okay, well, you know what? Here's what we can offer you financially. Don't care. Let's go. I'm in college anyway. Let's go. Let's do it. And I think that's admirable. If we ask this kid right now, like, hey, do you have any regrets on what you've been doing over the last 6 months? You think he's going to say no? Absolutely not. And is there a million kids that would give their left you-know-what to be in his shoes right now? Absolutely yes.
I actually think that's where those tweets come from, is jealousy. The ones that are saying, this is exploitation, it's jealousy. You didn't step out and take a chance. Do a little bit of work for not a lot of compensation.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing it play out. This kid's about to make some money. He's going to find himself an incredible job coming right out of Fairleigh Dickinson. He's going to knock it out of the park.
Yep.
Why? Because he took a chance. Started doing things when nobody was looking, when nobody cared.
Dude hustled. God bless him, man.
Yeah.
All right. There's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
I don't like this one at all. St. John's has fired head coach Mike Anderson, and Mike Anderson is now planning to file a lawsuit against the university. He's looking to get back some of the $11 million he felt like the university owed him, Scotty. He's 63 years old, and he was fired on March 10th. St. John's was eliminated in the Big East tournament with a quarterfinal loss to Marquette, so they fired him. This is a comment that he put out there. I vehemently disagree with the university's decision to terminate my contract for cause. The for-cause accusation is wholly without merit, and I will be aggressively defending my contractual rights through an arbitration process. Well, Scotty, here is the for-cause. The school asserted that Anderson failed to facilitate an environment of academic compliance with the program. It also complains that Anderson failed to appropriately supervise his assistant coaches. Now, I don't know what trouble his assistant coaches got in, and I don't know what the collective GPA was of his said roster. But until the school produces a little bit of information, I think they're held liable on this $11 million contract.
Yeah, pay that man his money. Here's the reason why this man does not have a job right now. It's not because of any academic issues. It's not because he didn't have control of his assistants. It's because Rick Pitino's agent said, hey, look, if you guys have an opening, I'll take that job. And Rick Pitino's the new head coach of St. John's. And they're like, huh, this guy or Rick Pitino? Yeah, we want Rick Pitino.
And, paying him out as $11 million or finding cause?
You want to fire a guy, that's fine. That's your right. But you got to pay the man his money.
Or produce the cause.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Make it very clear. Say, his assistants had 3 arrests under his watch. 2 DUIs, 1 drug and weapons possession. And his academic collective GPA amongst his group was a 1.8 through season play. Oh, okay. Well, that makes a little bit more sense. But if it's like, one of his assistants ended up with a baggie of weed and in the wrong area at the wrong time, and his collective GPA is a 2.8. We'd like it to be more in the 3-4 range.
Yeah, good luck.
There is for cause that I'll get on board with.
Yeah.
But when you put out a very vague release of academic compliance within the program and appropriately supervising his assistants, I just want more. Because that man's owed his money.
Yeah.
This is done because of exactly what Scotty talked about. Pitino's a possibility. St. John's wants to go win basketball games. And I don't think they made it to an NCAA tournament or an NIT tournament under Mike Anderson.
Yeah. Which is not firing with cause.
No.
That's just not winning games is not firing with cause.
No, that's a buyout that's a wait till his contract's up.
Yep. 100%. All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And of course, the ugly.
We mentioned this earlier in the show, suspended Alabama defensive back Tony Mitchell. More details coming out about his arrest. He was driving 141 miles an hour. 141 as he attempted to flee police in Florida last week. Mitchell and a passenger in his vehicle, his name's Chris Lewis, were arrested on Wednesday by deputies from the Holmes County Sheriff's Office, charged with possession of marijuana with the intent to sell or deliver. That's distribution weight, right, Lloyd? How much is that? Sorry.
226 grams.
He had 226 grams?
Yeah.
That's
8 ounces.
That's a lot. He also was charged with carrying a concealed firearm without a permit. Nick Saban said that he was suspended from the team and all team activities until we gather more information about the situation and what his legal circumstance is. His career at Alabama is probably done.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, he had more than $7,000 in cash in the vehicle as well. Mm-hmm. Nick Saban went on to say there's no such thing as being in the wrong place at the wrong time, which, by the way, a little bit of a subtle jab to Nate Oates, the head basketball coach at Alabama, who had a player who took a gun to someone and that someone used the gun to kill a woman. And he said, well, he's a good kid. He was at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Boy, that's awkward.
Yeah, that's a little tied crime right there.
Your quote tweet on that was spot on. Just letting them know who's boss.
Yeah, Saban's like, I'm going to let you know who's the boss.
I run this.
A subtle jab is what you just did to Lloyd. That's a subtle jab.
Yeah.
What Nick Saban.
Or is it really all that subtle?
Yeah, it is. What Nick Saban just did was a massive katana sword through the upper chest cavity of Coach Beard.
Nate Oates. Yeah. Beard was Texas Tech. Yeah.
That is a massive slice right through the front part of Coach Oates.
Yeah.
You know that gets back to him. That's going to be really awkward.
Yeah. Here's Oates in the middle of a NCAA tournament run. He's like, wow, Saban just threw me under the bus.
In the middle of a murder investigation.
Yeah.
He's in the middle of a murder investigation. He had one athlete that pulled the trigger. He had another athlete that delivered the gun that's currently playing in the tournament. And Coach Saban takes a jab?
Might as well have said, you know what? If I was a police officer, I'd be taking a closer look at that situation.
Yeah.
Bama AD's got to be like, oh, no. Oh, come on.
We're going to reopen the investigation. We're going to ask Alabama to step away from the tournament as... We continue to question athletes on this roster.
Saban's like, there's only one team that wins national championships around here. It's mine.
Holy.
You know your role, basketball team. Calm it down.
As you said, I think that Tony Mitchell is done. 141 miles per hour.
And the thing about Alabama.
That was when they lost sight of him. So they clocked him at 141, and then he got out of their sight.
Jeez.
Have you guys ever, sped out towards Wendover at all? What's the fastest you've ever gone?
I topped 188, probably.
Did you really?
Wait a minute.
That's scary.
88.
Oh.
Like, oh, 88. I said 188.
No, 88.
Who were you in?
The chances of you only going 88 is like next to nil.
I feel like you and I do that.
You and I both
daily.
Grew up in the middle of nowhere, Idaho. Stop it.
Be honest.
The most I think I've ever pushed a car was 89.
Yeah.
And felt terrible.
And that was on your way in today.
And that was to a remote.
Yeah. Come on. A little bit of honesty here.
Took my foot off the pedal.
Hey, we all make bad decisions. It's okay.
Got to do better than this. Can't be pushing it to the levee here.
That levee's dry.
88 or 89. I don't know, Lloyd.
The only thing holding you back is the quality of vehicles that you've driven throughout a good chunk of your life.
Okay, but we did drive something.
Yeah, okay, and I'll give you that.
Yeah.
What about on the way back from Lincoln? That was a nice vehicle right there.
Yeah, it was an Armada.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah.
I would imagine you probably went over 89 there.
Not that I remember, but I do remember you pulling a U-turn in the middle of a median.
I think that was me, actually.
That was me because I think you guys were in the middle of doing the post game.
Yeah, I think. I think you and I were in the very back, sitting flat butted on the back seat.
Trying to do a broadcast, All right, Hans and Scotty, coming up next, another edition of Whole World News, straight ahead, right here on The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Time to welcome in Ken Pomeroy, owner of KenPom.com. Everyone's bracket is in shambles. 2-1 seeds are out. 2-2 seeds are out. A 3 and 2 4s. How much of this did you see coming? How much did KenPom.com see all this in advance? And how much of it are you totally stunned by?
Well, the particulars I did not see coming. But the general idea of a lot of upsets occurring itself isn't too shocking. When I looked at my ratings heading into the tournament, the very top team is Houston, and their rating was worse than every prior top team except two in the 25 years of data that I have. So the top of college basketball was clearly weaker than usual, and these top teams were more vulnerable than ever, and picking out which top teams are going to go down was the dicey part and the reason that everybody's brackets are actually in shambles.
Catch DJ and PK, mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Chevrolet, proudly serving Utah since 1926. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about.
Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting.
This is Whole World News on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right. It is time. By the way, tomorrow, I might add, before we get to Whole World News, we'll be live at Tim Daly Mazda Southdown. Fired up. Our buddy Jake's now the GM out there. We've known him forever. Find your new Mazda at the south end of the valley at Tim Daly Mazda Southdown. That's Tim Daly Mazda Southdown in Sandy. Hey, Jake, all I can guarantee is that Jake's going to make it entertaining tomorrow.
Jake, if you got yourself a 2002 or 2001 626, put it off to the side for me.
Ooh.
No reverse in that too, please.
Yeah. And if it could have a broken rear window and no reverse, no AC. You know, out of all the things that car didn't have that I drove for 5 years?
Yeah.
The AC is what bugged me the most.
More than reverse?
I got away without having a reverse. It didn't really bug me. I just parked on slants or where I could
pull through
yeah. every time. And pretty much everywhere I go, you're going to walk a little bit to get to whatever establishment you're trying to find, but you can park those things so you can get out pretty well.
It's one thing I admire about you is that you're just willingness to drive whatever.
I will drive
whatever. Like I had.
I do not care.
You know, like when my wife drove this Jeep, it was a Jeep Commander, and it wasn't the Jeep's fault. I'm not throwing the brand under the bus, but. It got into I actually hit a deer with it. That one time, coming back from Vegas.
The one that people stopped and picked up
and they yeah. wanted to turn into jerky. And anyway, we could
I don't
not.
I think you accidentally hit the deer.
Oh, trust me, it nearly totaled out. Like
let's
it was.
Be honest.
The officers did wonder why you swerved four lanes to hit it. Just kidding.
Anywho.
His war with deer has been long recorded. Yeah.
But that car was never the same after that.
Yeah.
Like, and we had so many issues and had to replace the engine. And I was like, I'm done with it. I'm not driving any crappy vehicles anymore. Like, I'm going to pay probably more than I should for vehicles because I just don't want that. I wanted that peace of mind. But you're like, I don't care, man. Let's go.
Yeah, I don't care. I do not care. I'll drive whatever. I just don't care. What's interesting is how much people do care.
Yeah.
And it's like I'm telling my son right now, because we're in the process of buying him a car. And I told him, it's the person that makes the car cool.
Yes, that's 100% true.
It's not the car that makes the person cool. Yep. I know a bunch of dopes that drive nice cars, and all they are is a dope in a nice car.
Yep.
I know a lot of great guys that drive trash cars, and those are great people in a trash car. They make the car good.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I've always been high on the used cars. So when we get out there to talk with Jake, I guarantee he's got a good selection.
Good selection of used vehicles out there.
Hey, back in your day, did you guys ever used to name your pigs that you'd show?
No, because ultimately you don't want to create any kind of emotional attachment because you know how that story is going to end.
You're going to name Bacon, essentially.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. Yeah.
Did you have dogs growing up?
Oh, yeah, we had dogs growing
up.
What
were some of the dogs or cats' names that you could remember?
I had a dog that was named Rowdy, that somebody named Rowdy. Okay. I think Copper was another one.
All right.
That's about the only two that's coming to mind.
Lloyd, what are some dog names that you remember from your youth?
Bo. Bo. Bo Jackson.
Nice.
Had an Axel.
Axel?
Yeah.
I've got some good cat names.
Yeah. Keep that off the air.
You can't do that.
Something Mouth.
Yes.
Was the name of one of our cats. Duffy. Jet Speed.
Jet Speed?
Yeah, Jet Speed. He was fast. Cuddles. Cuddles was great. Probably my favorite cat all time.
We had a cat that everybody just called Kitty. And so it was just a kitty. Here, kitty, kitty. And then it was a feral cat, but it would come and hang out with you. But then it started producing babies. So then it was like, well, it's called Mama Kitty because it was kitty, but it was delivering babies all the time.
It was Mama Kitty.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this woman just went viral on TikTok because she put together a video of her newborn baby. And it shows the baby. And she says, we've decided to name the baby Henry Miles. And then it flashes to a dog that passed away after our beloved now deceased dog, Miles.
You were named after the dog.
She named her baby after their dog.
Wow.
So Miles is named after
the dog.
A dog. She said, we lost our first baby 2 days before we had our last baby. Pretty sure they have the same soul, so why not the same name?
She loved that dog.
Wow.
You got anything on this, Scotty?
Nope.
Feel like you have something you'd like to add.
Huh, seems like there's something right there on the tip of your tongue.
Go ahead, Scotty.
No.
You got something to say?
I got nothing. No, it's a lovely story. Did you think about naming Rock Gus?
2 million views.
No.
Gizmo or Gus or Buster. Got two Busters in the house.
Well, Buster came in post Rock, right?
Yes.
But did Gus die before Rock was born?
Yes.
Yes. There you go.
The year before. Gus and Gizmo, or Jet Speed, Duffy or Cuddles. Couldn't go with Cuddles.
Tommy Gizmo Olsen?
I don't know. Tommy Jet Speed.
Tommy Jet Speed.
Now, that's got a nice little ring to it.
Rock Jet Speed. It's so funny because everybody at the school calls him Tommy, and it still catches me off guard.
It threw me off when I saw his nice grades he had. Oh. I saw Tommy, I was like, Oh, okay.
Did you not know his first name was Tommy?
No, I knew that. No, I did.
By the way, how about our kid killing it in the classroom?
He just loves anything I can't do. He just loves.
Wait, are you saying he's getting good grades out of spite?
Good for him.
I can't even tell you how many times he shoved it in my face.
Wow.
How many times did you get straight A's? Son, you know, I had a severe learning disorder.
You do not throw that in his face.
Oh, don't, Mr. Diabetes. I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
he got you there.
I don't want to hear it. Yes, I throw that in his face. And he kills it. I don't know. I'm like, how are you getting straight A's? Because I should go to school, I study. Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty
That's
proud.
That's awesome. Good for him. All right, Hans and Scotty. Mark's hanging out with us from Wasatch Medical. And Mark, I've had a few people that have said, okay, you know what? I want to call 801-901-8000. They hear about the acoustic wave therapy. They hear that, you know, that it's a treatment for the issue, not necessarily the Band-Aid, and it has an end date. But here's the million-dollar question a lot of people want to know, Mark. Is it painful?
The answer is absolutely not. So that is one of the great things about our acoustic wave therapy at Wasatch Medical Clinic. There is zero pain, and actually that is the number one question our doctor gets asked is, will it be painful? And the answer is no. There's no pain. There are no timing issues either. Guys, if you're taking pills, you know that you have to time everything out. You have to plan everything out. That spontaneity is gone. You don't have to worry about that with the acoustic wave therapy. No side effects either, and there is no downtime. The average guy is going to need several treatments over the course of a 2 to 3 week period. Those treatments last about 15 minutes each. That's it. So, guys, the acoustic wave therapy is a great option for you because we are treating the root cause of ED. In most guys, that is a lack of blood flow.
801-901-8000. That's the number to call right now. 801-901-8000. There's always a lot of free when you call in, Mark.
Absolutely, guys. Give us a call today. I know there are a lot of guys out there. You've heard the commercials. You're just waiting. You're kind of putting everything off. Don't do that because ED does not get better on its own. Give us a call at Wasatch Medical Clinic. We will set you up with the exam, assessment, and the blood flow ultrasound with our doctor at no cost. In addition to that, you'll receive a gift which can provide rapid results for those intimate moments. But guys, you need to call today. Give us a call at 801-901-8000, 801-901-8000.
That's 801-901-8000 right here on The Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.